We don't go on dates, we went our separate ways, and we don't conversate. She said I'm playing games, she said she feels trapped, stuck up in this fucking maze. How you been? I've been better than yesterday.
Good morning, good day, good evening. This is DJ Spazza on Radio Sport at radiosport.online. This is Daily Sports News.
Can you say what you thinking, babe? I'm too sure for my pockets, no, that's bollocks. Walking through my mind, it's a forest.
Daily Sports News on 6th of April 2021.
Marshmallows in a chocolate fake. You felt low, I took you higher than a note from Mariah. And still you got the cheek to even try and call me liar. One up in the oven, trying to trap me in barbed wire. Put a baby in your stomach if that's what you desire. Suddenly not half a man I used to be, but truthfully ain't half a bitch you could it be. It's not you, so I guess it's me. It's not you, so I guess it's me. Suddenly not half a man I used to be, but truthfully ain't half a bitch you could it be. It's not you, so I guess it's me.
This time out, this time out. This time out, this time out, this time out, have one hand free. This has nothing to do with me. Nothing, nothing. I leave the dent in my car to remind.
Slow Tie and Feel Away featuring James Blake with his beautiful vocals. Feel Away, this is what Hubert Hurkacz can do. He's the winner of the Miami Open, by many regarded as the Grand Slam tournament, or quasi Grand Slam. There are only four Grand Slam tournaments, but some believe that Miami Open is similar to those Grand Slams. Hubert Hurkacz was successful in winning this tournament, but how did it all start? Well, in quarterfinals there were upsets already. Roberto Bautista Agut, he defeated number one seeded Dani Medvedev 6-4, 6-2, whereas Hubert Hurkacz had Stefanos Tsitsipas, the number two seed, as his opponent. It was already the eighth matchup between these players. Each one of these matchups, each one of these matches that they played were contested, fiercely contested between them, even though Stefanos Tsitsipas won six of them and Hubert Hurkacz only one of them. Stefanos Tsitsipas started really well, and Hubert Hurkacz was very aggressive early on, but was not really very precise. His backhand was going off wide, his forehand was going way over the line. So it was an early lead for Tsitsipas. He beat Hurkacz in the first set by 6-2 and broke the pole in the second set already and was 2-0 up. It looked like it was going to be this time an easy win for Stefanos Tsitsipas, and this is when he relaxed just a little bit, and he relaxed a little bit too early. This is when Hubert Hurkacz started playing really, really well. That got Stefanos Tsitsipas angry, and he didn't really behave that well. Between the second and third set, he took a lot of time changing his shirt, changing his headband, changing his wristband, and got warned by the umpire. Then he called for a supervisor. Supervisor obviously upheld the decision by the main referee, but his behavior, Stefanos Tsitsipas' behavior, was not really that nice towards Hubert Hurkacz, who was standing all the time on the court and waiting for Stefanos Tsitsipas to do all his antics. So Stefanos Tsitsipas went finally to the court, but it was all Hubert Hurkacz in the second set when he beat him 6-3. And in the third set, in the final set, where he beat Stefanos Tsitsipas 6-4. That was a big win for Hubert Hurkacz. Stefanos Tsitsipas was in the form of his life recently. He's number 5 seed in the world. He's ranked number 5 in the world. So he was expecting a lot of good things from this tournament, especially after Dani Medvedev was knocked out. He felt that perhaps his path to the win in Miami Open was wide open, but it was then slammed in his face by Hubert Hurkacz. Hubert Hurkacz then went on to play Andrei Rublev in the semi-final, and Andrei Rublev must have been enjoying the fact that Dani Medvedev was already out of the tournament, because if there is one player in the world that Andrei Rublev is unable or cannot really play well, is his compatriot Dani Medvedev. He lost all the games between them. So when he felt that the road is open, he faced Hubert Hurkacz, who played the match of his life. That was probably the best we've ever seen Hubert Hurkacz. His serving was excellent. A number of aces, 14, 15 aces, you name it. Just like in the game against Milos Raonic, when he actually had more aces than Milos Raonic himself, which is quite unusual, to say the least. Hubert Hurkacz served well. He played really well off the back of the court with backhand and forehand. Many winners, not that many errors, and 6-3, 6-4 was the final score against Andrei Rublev, who was visibly stunned by such a great display of top-level tennis by the Polish Hubert Hurkacz. In the final, it was Jannik Sinner who was to be the opponent of Hubert Hurkacz. Jannik Sinner is Italian, even though he was born in Tyrol, which up to the end of the Second World War was Austrian. So he speaks German at home, and up to the age of 10, 11, he couldn't really speak Italian. But now he represents Italy. He is ranked number three in Italy, a 19-year-old, very well positioned. He is 188 centimeters tall, only weighs about 71 kilograms, but he's very dynamic. Jannik Sinner played well against Hubert Hurkacz, although the level of the tennis in the final perhaps wasn't that high. Maybe because both of them were nervous. It was supposed to be the first win at the ATP Masters level tournament. Hubert Hurkacz managed to get his nerves under control and beat Jannik Sinner in the first set in the tiebreaker by 7-4. In the second set, Hubert Hurkacz was raising his game, was winning already 4-0 and had a break point to go 5-5. And then something started going wrong. Jannik Sinner started playing better. He went for winners, got back to 4-3, and then that was a crucial game of the tournament for Hubert Hurkacz. He managed to keep his serve and went to win 6-4. In the interviews after the match, Hubert Hurkacz said that he feels at home in Miami. He hasn't lost a match this season yet. He won the tournament early on this year at Belray Beach, and he won this one. So he's pretty much unbeaten in Florida. He could have done with all the tournaments, even major ones, being played in Florida, where he feels certainly very, very well. Jannik Sinner, in his interview after the loss, was really gracious. He thanked Hubert Hurkacz for his display of talent. He also said that he congratulated for Hubert Hurkacz for the person that he is. He said he's one of the nicest people on tour and certainly the best friend on tour for Jannik Sinner. And he was hoping that they would play still together sometime in doubles. So that was class of Jannik Sinner, the 19-year-old Italian who showed great grace in defeat. Surely he will have his moment. Surely he will be still winning ATP tournaments. Certainly his talent is really there. He's playing at a really high level at a very, very early age. For Hubert Hurkacz, this is probably the best the Polish men in the men's competition the Polish player has ever done. No one has really won the ATP Masters tournament. No one, no Pole has won a Grand Slam tournament for that matter. Although there is obviously Iga Świątek, who by winning French Open last year became the first Polish lady, the first Polish person to win a Grand Slam tournament. But the Polish players, Iga Świątek and Hubert Hurkacz, are like lone swordsmen in their country. They are the lone ones playing at this level, at this highest level of all. How about the WTA tournament in Miami, which was played in parallel? Ashley Barty won the tournament by beating Andreescu in the final, the Canadian, 6-3, 4-0, and then Andreescu retired due to injury. This was a really good win for Ashley Barty, who returned to international competition after being away for over a year. She only played in Australia. She was knocked out of the Australian Open, but came over to the US and played really well throughout the tournament by beating some class opponents. So in WTA, Ashley Barty is on top. This tournament did not have that much money in terms of prize money as in the years before. The pandemic influenced the sponsors, so Hubert Hurkacz only managed to get about $300,000 for winning the tournament, similar to Ashley Barty, whereas in previous years it was well over $1 million for winning this tournament. But Hubert Hurkacz, by winning this tournament, got 1,000 points and will be ranked 16 in the world just starting today. So obviously this is going to be easier for him to compete in the next tournaments and the following tournaments, because he'll be seated higher and his path to winning tournaments will be easier, especially in early rounds. So good news for Hubert Hurkacz. They will now start preparations for the Grand Slam tournament in May in Roland Garros. So there will be lots of games being played played on clay. Similar, Iga Świątek will be defending her French Open title in May. For those Polish tennis players, we will now broadcast Daniel Avery's song "Lone Swordsman," because indeed they are lone swordsmen in their profession at this level in Poland. Daniel Avery, Lone Swordsman. This is to reflect the fact that the Polish tennis players are really alone in their own profession at this highest international level. There were a number of good football games being played over Easter weekend. We'll start our review with France, where Lille leapfrogged Paris Saint-Germain to grab the lead in Ligue 1 when they beat the Paris Saint-Germain side 1-0. It was not a good game for Neymar, who got sent off in the last minute. The Canadian, Jonathan Davis, David scored in the first half to put the northern side on 66 points. And there are still 7 games remaining, but Lille are now 3 points ahead of Paris Saint-Germain. So this could be a big upset in the French Ligue 1, because Paris Saint-Germain obviously are always heavy favorites to win the title. In Spain, Real Madrid on Saturday beat Eibar 2-0. Karim Benzema scored as usual alongside Marco Asensio. That 2-0 win at Eibar got Real Madrid within 3 points of Atletico Madrid, who were not successful in their game against Sevilla. They lost 1-0, and Real Madrid are just 3 points behind Atletico Madrid. And the matters got even worse yesterday when Barcelona met Real Valladolid and beat them by 1-0 in added time. But that meant that now Barcelona are just 1 point behind Atletico Madrid. So the title, which looked quite feasible for Atletico Madrid, it looks more and more elusive for Atletico. They got just 1 point between them and Barcelona, and just 3 points ahead of Real Madrid. It was a tough game for Barcelona. Dembele scored in added time. Real Valladolid were displaying really a good performance, although they had their one of the players sent off, and that made matters really difficult. Ousmane Dembele struck in stoppage time for Barcelona, who are now obviously in a very good position going into El Clásico, which is to be played on Saturday against Real Madrid. So that's pretty good news for Atletico, because they know that these teams, at least one of them, will lose points on Saturday because they play against each other. So in La Liga, we got Atletico Madrid ahead of Barcelona and ahead of Real Madrid. Sevilla with 58 points are now 8 points behind Atletico. So the title race tightens up in Spain. How about in Germany? In Germany, we had the top level matchup between Bayern Munich and RB Leipzig. This was to be a very difficult game for Bayern Munich, because they were missing their striker, Robert Lewandowski, who injured his knee in the game, in the international game of Poland against Andorra. So he was unavailable. He will be unavailable, apparently, for the game against Paris Saint-Germain as well. Leipzig were a better team throughout the game, but the top assistant in the European leagues, Thomas Müller, he passed to Goretzka, and he duly utilized that opportunity, scored the only goal in that game that put Bayern on top, and they extended the lead over RB Leipzig. In the game with Champions League implications, Borussia Dortmund at home surprisingly lost against Eintracht Frankfurt 1-2, and even though they had Haaland in their lineup, but André Silva headed in the 87th minute for Eintracht Frankfurt and gave them the surprising win against Borussia Dortmund. Eintracht Frankfurt are now on 50 points and in the fourth place, which is obviously quite surprising given their status in the German Bundesliga. In other games in Bundesliga, Borussia Mönchengladbach seemed to have been finishing their slump by beating Freiburg 2-1, which means that in the table, Bayern Munich are leading now, and they have 64 points, 7 points ahead of RB Leipzig. Wolfsburg is third on 54 points, and Eintracht Frankfurt fourth on 50. Already 7 points ahead on of the fifth-placed Borussia Dortmund, who are just on 43 points. So Eintracht Frankfurt, Wolfsburg, they both seem to be destined for heading for the Champions League next season. In Serie A, Milan drew against Sampdoria. That was not good news for their fans. Atalanta, though, beat Udinese 3-2. Napoli struggled against Crotone, but still beat them 4-3. Zielinski was in the lineup, even though there were some issues in him arriving, with him arriving in Italy. Apparently, he was diagnosed again with coronavirus, even though he was supposed to have been infected in the past. But he did go onto the pitch in the second half and gave Napoli some help. 4-3 for Napoli against Crotone. Genoa Fiorentina 1-1. Sassuolo drew against Roma 2-2. When the probably most interesting games in the Serie A, Torino drew Juventus 2-2, and Bologna were beaten by Inter Milan. And Romelu Lukaku scored his 20th Serie A goal of the season to earn Internazionale that win against Bologna. And obviously, that meant that Internazionale extended the lead at the top of the table. 68 points with one game in hand, 8 points ahead of Milan. Atalanta in third place, 58. Juventus on 56 in the fourth place, and Napoli on 56. In the fifth place, on the 56 points as well. So this is the results in Serie A, La Liga, in Bundesliga. How about Premier League? We had a number of interesting games being played over the weekend. Sensationally, the weekend started with Chelsea being beaten at home against West Bromwich Albion. That was a shock to the system. The first loss of Chelsea under Thomas Tuchel, and it was mainly because Thiago Silva got sent off early on, even though Thomas Tuchel was saying, this is not an excuse. We should have played better. We shouldn't have conceded so many goals. Christian Pulisic gave Chelsea an early lead on the 27th minute, but then Thiago Silva got sent off in the 29th, and Mateus Pereira scored 2 goals in added time in the first half, and West Bromwich were leading 2-1 at halftime. And they continued their scoring with Callum Robinson scoring in the 63rd minute. Then Mbaye Diagne in 68th minute gave the visitors a 4-1 lead. Mason Mount got one back in the 71st minute, but then Callum Robinson scored again in the added time. 5-2 for West Bromwich Albion. Does that mean that Sam Allardyce will do his miracle again and will be able to save another team from relegation from the Premier League? Well, it remains to be seen. It will be very, very difficult, of course. They have got a number of points to catch up to their teams which are ahead of them. Leeds United managed to get a win against Sheffield United, 2-1. Leicester City, who are third in the Premier League, way above their weight, I think they're punching, but against Manchester City, no such luck. Even though in the first half it looked like that we had a contest on our hands, but Benjamin Mendy scored in the 58th minute, and then Gabriel Jesus added another one in the 74th, and the contest was pretty much over. Manchester City are heading for the English or Premier League Championship, probably unchallenged. Arsenal-Liverpool, that was the game of the evening on Saturday. Arsenal and Liverpool are fighting really hard to be part of that contest for the fourth place, which gives the Champions League place, but Arsenal were really nowhere near Liverpool this time. A brilliant cross from Trent Alexander-Junior and Diogo Jota, who got onto the pitch just in the 64th minute and scored immediately with a nice header. Then Mohamed Salah dribbled the whole defense of Arsenal and put the ball between Bernd Leno legs. 2-0 for Liverpool, and then Diogo Jota in the 82nd minute provided the third goal for Liverpool. 3-0. Arsenal were not really in it. Liverpool showed some poise, and obviously that form will be needed when they travel to Real Madrid for tonight's game in the Champions League. Newcastle drew against Tottenham. That's a surprising result for the Northerners. Tottenham seem to have been on a roll recently, and are at least out of a slump. But only 1 point. The Mourinho side will be disappointed with that result. Manchester United were playing Brighton, who proved to be quite resilient. Jakub Modar, after a goal for Poland at Wembley, started in the lineup for Brighton and played pretty well. But not well enough, because Manchester United were able to overcome difficulties against Brighton and beat them 2-1. In a very interesting matchup last night, West Ham were playing against Wolverhampton away, and Jesse Lingard proved again that he is probably the best signing of the season. He's on loan from Manchester United, scored the first goal in the 6th minute, and then provided assists for two others for West Ham. First, it was an assist to Pablo Fornals, who scored in the 14th minute, and then it was a nice counter-attack of Jesse Lingard when he passed the ball to Jared Bowen. It was 3-0 in the 38th minute, but West Ham knew that wasn't the end yet, because they were quite aware of the fact that previously, when they were leading 3-0 against Arsenal, they got only 1 point out of that contest. This time, Wolverhampton proved to be also quite resilient, and they scored a goal just before halftime through Leander Dendonker, and West Ham were nervous. But going into the second half, they still had opportunities to extend the lead, but it was Fabio Silva who scored a goal for Wolverhampton, which made things quite interesting and nervous for West Ham. In the end, they were able to hold on and beat Wolverhampton 3-2, and now West Ham are in the fourth place, so they are challenging for the fourth position, which obviously gives qualification for the Champions League. West Ham are on 52 points, just 1 point ahead of Chelsea, just 3 points ahead of Tottenham, Liverpool, and 5 points ahead of Everton. So there will be a fascinating battle for the places that will qualify these teams for the Champions League. Leicester City on 56 points, 4 ahead of West Ham. Manchester City obviously are heading straight for the Championship. They will most likely be the new champions of the Premier League. However, for them, it is not enough. They need to win the Champions League, and this competition obviously is the most important for Guardiola, who is yet to bring that trophy to Manchester City. But for the time being, all eyes are on West Ham. They will be watched by all the other teams. There will be nowhere to hide now, because they occupy now the fourth place, the coveted fourth place, which obviously gives qualification to the Champions League, which all other teams like Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham will obviously be fighting for. Ghost Poet is a British artist with the song Nowhere to Hide Now, which obviously reflects the precarious position that West Ham are finding themselves in. But obviously they are enjoying it. Now they are enjoying it. They are in the fourth place.
in the streets, panic in the pipes, screaming fills the air. It's going down tonight, it's going down tonight. We hold the keys, we turning these loves together. You hold the dark streets alone, I stick to shadows forever. She said, shoot for the moon, honey, but there's no light inside. Together, you or the dark streets alone. I stick to shadows forever. She said, shoot for the moon, honey. Yeah. But there's no light inside.
West Ham are now in the fourth place in the Premier League, and there is nowhere to hide now. All the other teams will be challenging West Ham, but I'm sure they like the position they are in right now. We're moving now to Texas, where a golf tournament, Valero Texas Open, was being held over the weekend. And Jordan Spieth is back. Jordan Spieth, who has won a number of tournaments in the past, but last time he won was British Open in 2017. He has not won since then. But this year, Jordan Spieth seems to be holding the slump. He was already leading after 54 holes in Phoenix Open. He was challenging for the win at Pebble Beach, and he was leading after 54 holes at Valero Texas Open over the weekend. He was leading together with, he was sharing the lead with Matt Wallace of England, who usually does not compete on PGA Tour, rather he competes on European Tour, but he got a special invitation, special exemption, they were playing together, Jordan Spieth, Matt Wallace and Charlie Hoffman in the last group. Jordan Spieth seems to have been the calmer of the three, and he managed to get on to an early lead, which he would not relinquish. Charlie Hoffman was challenging him still late, but Jordan Spieth settled things on the 17th hole, and by 18 under, he won the tournament for the first time since 2017. And he now sends a message to everyone that he will be challenging challenging for the Grand Slam, for the major tournament, which is starting on Thursday at Augusta, Georgia. A Masters tournament, the most important tournament in the golf world, is starting with azaleas blossoming this time. Remember last year, that tournament had to be postponed till September. It wasn't really the same, no azaleas, but this time it's going to be different. This time we're back to normal, back to usual. Jordan Spieth is back. Who is going to be challenging him? Obviously Rory McIlroy as well, even though he changed the coach, or even just hired the coach. He never really had a coach before, so Rory McIlroy is taking this tournament really, really seriously. That's the only major tournament that he does not have in his purse in terms of winning, so Rory McIlroy is going to have to be counted with. Jordan Spieth, though, is back. Dustin Johnson, number one in the world, he'll be defending the title. Brooks Koepka apparently is arriving at the Augusta, and that's surprising because he had a knee surgery just a few weeks before, and in the hilly terrain of Augusta, it'll be difficult to walk, let alone hit high and hit long shots in the golf course. So Jordan Spieth is back. Dustin Johnson will be defending the title. Rory McIlroy is hungry for the last remaining title in his Grand Slam. And Brooks Koepka, injured lion. We will have a tournament to watch. We will be watching that very closely. We'll see how that ends up. Who will end up with a green jacket in Augusta, Georgia? That is starting already on Thursday. But Jordan Spieth is back, like in Spear of Destiny's song "Come Back, All Is Forgiven."
Try. One day something will snap.
Kirk Brandon and Spear of Destiny, come back, all is forgiven. Jordan Spieth is back, all is forgiven, although we have nothing really to forgive him for, because he never really changed anything after he couldn't really win anything for 4 years. He hasn't changed his coach, he hasn't changed his caddy, he's still talking to Michael Grellard and discusses all the options on the golf course. So Jordan Spieth is back, but March Madness is over. March Madness is the tournament in the U.S. to get to the champion of the NCAA basketball. We had very interesting semifinals where Houston were playing against Baylor. Houston, number 2 seed in its conference, and then Baylor out of Waco in Texas, number 1. It was an uneventful game. Baylor beat comprehensively Houston by 78 points to 59. In the other semifinal, in the other game of the Final Four, we had a game of UCLA against Gonzaga. UCLA is one of these teams that was not qualified to the 64. They had to play a playoff game in the first four to be able even to participate in the March Madness tournament. So it is a Cinderella story that they managed to get to the Final Four, and they were challenging the number 1 seed Gonzaga, who were favored to win it all. They were unbeaten this season, and yet UCLA, the Cinderella of the tournament, they got Gonzaga to the overtime. They were close to even winning that game, but then Jalen Suggs, in the last grasp, he got off the shot from his own half and scored 3-pointer for Gonzaga and got them into the final. Jalen Suggs and 93-90 for Gonzaga. Gonzaga were then playing against fresh Baylor. Gonzaga tired legs, and Baylor beat them 86-70 in the final, and that was an upset. So Gonzaga, the university which was founded in the 19th century out of Spokane, Washington State, west coast of the U.S., they were favorites to win it all, but were unable to do that in the last game. They were too tired. Timmy and Suggs couldn't really get enough energy to get past Baylor. And Baylor, this is the team that won for the first time, and they are the ones who are cutting the net off the basket rim as a custom dictates. Baylor were on probation because there were some real issues at this university basketball program where one of the players was murdered by another one, so that must have been some really bad things going on in Baylor, but they were able to get back. They were able to win the whole tournament 86-70 against Gonzaga. Gonzaga, no divine intervention. Obviously, we had another Jesuit university out of Chicago, Loyola, who was surprisingly able to get to the Sweet 16, but that divine intervention then finished. Sister Jean was not helping with Gonzaga. Again, that divine intervention wasn't evidently there, since they lost against Baylor 86-70. So March Madness is over. We have Madness, the British band, playing Our House for all these youngsters who are competing so ferociously in the NCAA March Madness tournament. Madness, Our House.
Where's his son? to rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around. A crowd, there's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud, nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our street. Gets up late for work. Mother has to iron his shirt. Then she sends the kids to school. Sees them off with a small kiss. She's the one they're going to miss in lots of ways.
Madness, our house. March Madness in college basketball is over, but the professional basketball madness in NBA is still on. And we had something of a derby last night between the New York City teams. New York Knicks were playing against Brooklyn Nets. And James Harden was back after his right hamstring injury. He got onto the court, had three assists, but unfortunately he had to walk off again with the same injury. So he came back too early. James Harden was off, and New York Knicks stars were on. Derrick Rose, who obviously was a big star in Chicago Bulls, he played off the bench for New York Knicks, but scored 16 points, 3 assists, and 1 rebound. RJ Barrett was playing well, 22 points and 4 rebounds, and Julius Randle, their all-star, 19 points, 12 assists, and 12 rebounds, triple, double, double for New York Knicks. But Brooklyn Nets, even though James Harden couldn't play, they had one big star, Kyrie Irving. 14 points in the first quarter alone, 40 points in total, 7 assists and 2 rebounds, and that was enough to beat New York Knicks almost single-handedly. Kyrie Irving beat them 114 to 112. So Brooklyn Nets, even without Kevin Durant, even without James Harden, but with Kyrie Irving, were able to beat the local rivals. In the other game of interest last night, Utah Jazz were traveling to Dallas. Donovan Mitchell is obviously a big star of Utah, but he ended up the night only with 16 points and 4 assists and 5 rebounds, whereas Rudy Gobert had 14 points, 2 assists and 15 rebounds and 2 big blocks on Dallas players. In Dallas, though, Tim Hardaway Jr. Off the bench scored 16 points, had 1 assist and 5 rebounds, but the big star of the night was Luka Doncic, who scored 16 points in the third quarter alone and was able to finish the night with 31 points, 8 assists and 9 rebounds, giving Dallas a win, 111-103 over Utah Jazz. That is a surprising result, because Utah Jazz obviously are challenging for number 1 seed in the Western Conference. In other games last night, Washington were beaten by Toronto 103-101, Sacramento lost to Minnesota, Detroit beat Oklahoma City, Cleveland beat San Antonio Spurs, and Phoenix were successful against Houston Rockets. The stars of NBA shine on, especially Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving last night, and we dedicate them the House of Love, Shine On. With the House of Love and Shine On, we'll conclude our daily sports news on 6th of April 2021. This is goodbye from DJ Spazza at Radio Sport on radiosport.online.
In the garden, in the house of love, there's nothing real, just a coat of arms. I'm not the pleasure that I used to be, so young, just 18. She, shine on. She, shine on. She, shine on.
Shine on.